Welcome back to the Shine Lord Radio Show, right here on We Talk Radio Network.
Hello, fear.
Heard no.
Farewell, bye-bye. Goodbye. So long.
can't let go.
Papa.
They owe me. He's at the door. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're with me, I need to hear you say. Yes. I need for you to travel one more time. Believe one more time. Dream one more time. Look at fear one more time. And say.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Shine Lord Radio Show. Super duper excited to be here today. Shout out to T. Smiley, who opened the show up this morning. T. Smiley is the host of the Cave Radio Show, and it airs every single Saturday morning at 10 a.m., so y'all got to check that out. Man, it was super funny yesterday. I had a good time. So y'all make sure y'all check it out if you're a man or if you know a man, have a dad, have an uncle, brother, boyfriend, husband. They need to be tuned into the Cave Radio Show. Real talk. Today, though, I'm excited. I really am. I have had the opportunity to know this young lady, for a very, very long time. She's our special guest today. And in first meeting her, you can tell exactly how incredible her spirit is and how amazing and positive she is. And it's really, really good to have the opportunity. Back then we were in college when we met, you know, still trying to figure out our lives and still trying to work things out. Now we're still trying to figure out our lives and work things out, but we have a different kind of foundation. And it is absolutely extraordinary to see this young lady shine the way she has through so many triumphs and adversities and still be standing on incredible 2 feet on a solid foundation. It's absolutely beautiful. And her spirit and her personality are absolutely amazing. I wanted you to have an opportunity to meet her. And we're going to ask her some questions and talk about her amazingness, talk about her life, what she's doing right now, and how incredible that is. We had the opportunity to meet many years ago in college, and I am super excited now. Man, I don't want to say how many years later. It don't matter. Just a couple years later, now here we are again reconnecting on the air. So please help me welcome an incredible and amazing young lady who has given her life to help change lives and help save lives and help you see your life in a different perspective, especially right now. Since things are just definitely so different and so tough. Nobody's seen this kind of lifestyle, and people are having a hard time just trying to live it. Social distancing, social isolation, you know, it's hard right now for a lot of people. And if you have any questions today, I definitely want you to be tuning in. I want you to be ready to ask. We're going to fire off. She's ready for these questions tonight. This morning. Please help me welcome the extraordinary, the amazing, the LPC extraordinaire, Lissa Bowden. Hello, Queen. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. Listen, we are super duper excited to have you here. Could not wait. First of all, thank you for being here. One of the incredible things about this particular interview right here today is that I actually have the opportunity to have known you for a very, very, very long time. Sometimes when I interview people, you know, I may have just, you know, seen their bio kind of deal. This is not the case here. You know, for many, many years, you have been a strong force in my life. And a great example to what a beautiful, finer woman should be. Not even just a finer woman, but just what an incredible, strong woman should be. And I don't really understand if you realize that you walked in that light. Yeah, you know, sometimes people don't realize that what light they have around them. That was your light. That is the light that you showed. And you are very encouraging and have always been to those around you, including myself, and from the day I met you. And very positive to me, very encouraging to me. And so this profession that you are in
is absolutely amazing. Someone who is positive, a positive, forward-moving thinking person who wants other people as well to have that mentality and be forward-moving thinking. Let's talk about what's going on right now in your incredible life. We know that years ago we met at the University of North Texas. We both graduated from the University of North Texas. Now
yes,
you are a LPC. Yep, Big Green, shout out. You've received your bachelor's degree, of course, and a master's from Argosy University. And you're, of course, now you are an LPC, which is a licensed professional counselor. You're a speaker and a life coach, and you are on a mission to change the stereotypes and stigmas surrounding mental health. And I think this is absolutely important, again, especially right now with things being so tough for people, having all of the anxiety and depression. There is lots of grief. There are so many issues that people are having to deal with. I want to talk about all of those things. But first, let's talk about your incredible and amazing practice, Shining Lights Counseling Center, LLC. I want to start right there. Congratulations, my sister, on having your private practice. And absolutely. Let's start right there. Go right ahead, Ms. Lisa Foden.
Well, I started my practice because I felt that Latino women and men and also African-American women and men need to see somebody that represented them in the mental health field. I feel that a lot of us, when we go to counseling, other person on the other side of the couch to look like us or at least understand us. And at that time when I started my practice, there wasn't, at least in our community, it wasn't talked about that much. Mental health was not a trend. Now it's starting to be a trend and people are more open to it. But previously, it wasn't that way. And I think even now that it is a trend and more people are going to counseling, more people are open to it, I still feel we have a lot of work to do. But I started my practice because of that.
Mm. Wow. You know, and it I will tell you, growing up as a youngster, which most of us who look like me and you, African-American, Latino, we probably have the same story. We, you know, for me, it was church. That was my counseling center, right? But
yeah,
that was also the same place where I was being abused sexually. So it was extremely tough for me to move through that. Somebody asked me like a couple days ago, how in the world did you make it? I said, well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I went to church. That was what we did. The fact that I couldn't do anything else. I couldn't think about being sad and depressed. I had no time to think about it because there was always something to do. We had choir rehearsal. Every night it was something. My stepdad was the, deacon of the church. He opened up the church every time it opened. And my mom was the secretary. So we were there all the time. But now,
yeah,
think about now. The outlet is gone. A lot of people aren't going to church anymore, so that outlet that they originally had isn't there anymore. And even though it was a double-edged sword going there, I still feel like that being there, it gave me something else to think about besides the situation that I was actually living in that moment, right? But
yeah,
a lot of people, again, they do not have that outlet. We are stuck at home. Do you mind talking? Right now, there's a lot happening with the world. There's a pain, a heavy-weighted pain on people, and it's a pain they can't take a pill for. You know, there's depression and anxiety pills, but at the end of the day, you know, there's a deeper level of something that's happening. And I want to touch on that, the social distancing and social isolation. Social isolation. How have you seen the effect on social isolation on people right now? Have you had an influx in counseling sessions?
Oh, definitely. Due to COVID, a lot of people, since they're home and they're having time to just be by themselves or with their family, they're having a lot of issues being stuck at home. And I think a lot of people are missing that, especially our community. You know, we thrive on being around others. We are a community-based group. Like, most of the things we do is in community, so Latino and African-American. So not having that connection and that support also is very hard for a lot of people, and especially people that are in relationships. They're stuck at home with their partner that usually they'll only be maybe 8 hours at home with, because both of them might have jobs, other stuff going on. But when you're stuck at home with that person, you get to see another side of them. And you also need space. So I had a lot of couples counseling going on, and also individual counseling with people because they're being at home, a lot of anxiety because they're worried about COVID and the effects that it could bring, not having those connections again of family and friends. So it makes it really hard for people to cope with COVID, and the uncertainty of it makes it even worse. It causes a lot of anxiety.
You know, what's the first way for someone who's sitting at home right now, outside of reaching out to you about a counseling session, absolutely, you know, what's one of the first things that we can do at home? Maybe we don't have the funds for counseling, you know, so on and so forth, whatever. There's insurance. If you don't have insurance, make a phone call to her. You never know. There may be some kind of cash price that they have, a counselor has. You just don't sit on it, guys. Don't keep giving excuses for something, because I hear it all the time. Oh, I don't have the money. Well, I don't have the income. Well, I don't have the... Make a call and see what happens. Today might be your lucky day. It might be the 1,000th winner gets the free counseling sessions. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just never know. But if you sit on it, you will never see where the blessings are coming from. So, I want to help people.
Once the people, like, if they feel that they might not, if they don't have insurance and they might not have the money to do therapy, to always, when they call somebody to ask if they have what is called a sliding scale, which means the therapist will lower their prices during sessions for them. I provide sliding scales because right now I'm not taking insurance. I'm self-pay. But a lot of therapists do that. Also, there's a lot of agencies that give free counseling or free group counseling that is available. You just have to look into it. But there's a lot of resources available to everybody out there that might need help. There is free counseling out there, and there's also free group counseling. Just depending on the issue, you're going to have to look into it. And a lot of people forget also their EAP services that they might have in their job, because a lot of their our jobs offer those services, and they resource out to a therapist, and the job actually pays the therapist. Now, it might be only like 5 or 6 sessions that they give you for free, but at least it's a start, and it will be able to get your foot in the door that way.
Beautiful. I love it. Again, there may be free sessions available for you. The one thing I do know about EAP is that it covers individual. It covers family, and it covers individual and family and couple counseling. Am I correct still?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
There we go. So for those that are at home right now and they're really depressed and just kind of feeling the effects of the situations, and it may not be just COVID, it may be a compounding of situations that are happening, what is some advice for them today just to keep them going? Because I know right now this is a really, really tough situation. We have parents who are dealing with youth who are suicidal. We have parents who are dealing with husbands that are incredible infidelities, just out the roof, that they didn't see before prior to COVID, but it may have been there. It may not have been there. What is some advice that you can give to them today, outside of, you know, giving them free counseling session advice right here on the air? But what are some things that they can do?
Well, I'll say for the couples to really, you know, have intentional time together and intentional time apart. And what I mean by that is, again, if you're stuck at home with this person all day long, of course they're going to get on your nerves sometime or the other, right? So I think having intentional time together, like, okay, we're going to be creative, have a date here at home, or let's go somewhere that we feel safe together, and let's start communicating more. Let's start doing more things together, but being intentional about it. And then also having breaks from each other. There's, again, there, on a regular day, if no COVID was going, you might interact with that your partner maybe even, not even 8 hours, because, again, you're sleeping, you have to go to work, you're driving to school, all those activities and stuff that you normally do. You don't spend all day with that person, so you cannot have that expectation even now that they're home. You need to give that person some space. And when I'm saying space, I don't mean, like, letting them leave the house or whatever, something like that, like being separated. I'm saying more in the sense of, okay, I'm going to give you some time to watch your favorite show and be alone, or I'm going to give you some time to go work out and not bug you, not have the kids bug you, so you can have some alone time, you know, some time away from the situation that's going on. Because, again, we have that on a normal day, but since we're in COVID, it's not normal. And then for the people that are having issues maybe with anxiety, I'll definitely suggest that they limit the amount of news they watch, because especially when COVID initially started, we were getting all types of crazy news about it, right? And worse that not much about it, everybody was feeling so anxious, like, well, do I have to wear a mask? Do I don't? Do I have to, if I touch the surface, will I get it? You know, we're all those uncertainties, and they're still kind of going on right now, because a lot of people, yeah, they might be getting the vaccine, but a lot of people are not, you know, and a lot of people are still scared to leave the house. So I'll say limit the amount of news you watch, and just, you know, get news from a credible source. So maybe go to the CDC website, find out what's going on lately with COVID, if that's, you know, if you need the information, so you can make an educated decision on it, but not just opinions and fake news, per se, about COVID, because that's just going to make you more anxious about it. And to try to be, use this time to be introspective. If you're living alone, don't waste the time wallowing in being alone. I think use this time to be introspective, to maybe start a hobby, a business, doing something that you're passionate about or that you haven't done in a while. Help you take that time to and use it for something productive. And also to practice self-care. I think we're so focused on the negative sometimes that we forget to take care of ourselves. And especially women, we always do that. We're taking care of everybody else, and we don't take the time out to work on us and take care of ourselves. And that's why we're burnt out and retired. So there's so many ways of tapping in your energy and getting something positive out of it during this time.
You know, I want to talk about the types of mental health. I think there's some stigmas on that as well, you know. go ahead. I want you to go right into the different types of mental health, and then an example of each, if you will, just so that people can have a pin to put something there, you know, and have a measure to measure it by, an example, definition.
Okay, well, when you say types of mental health, what do you mean, like services or more of people?
Ooh, I want to do both. I want to go into both. For example, depression and anxiety, you know, types of mental health issues if you will.
Okay.
So the things that people would actually come into your come into your counseling center for.
Well, at my practice, I see a little bit of everything. So I've been blessed to be able to treat people for a lot of different reasons. But when it comes to mental health, there's tons of different mental health issues. And counseling, a biggest stigma is I have to have something extreme going on to go to counseling. You don't have to have anything going on to go to counseling. Sometimes it's just going to counseling to make myself a better person, to maybe strengthen my in, to make sure I'm making the right moves for my career. Not all the time therapy has to be about, oh, my God, the world is crumbling around me. And because a lot of people wait to that point to come to therapy when they could earlier and avoided some of the stuff they're in right now. But there's therapy for everybody. If you have, there's a lot of therapists that see people who have more stronger personality disorders. Like, for example, a lot of people might have schizophrenia or bipolar, those type of, you know, mental health disorders. And a lot of them go to counseling. When it comes to those type of disorders, a lot of people also see a psychiatrist to get medication. And the medication part of it is just to level out their mood so that they can, and they're also their brain, so they could be able to function and be able to process the things that they're learning in counseling, if that makes sense. So I always hear people saying, I don't want to take no medicine. You as an adult have a choice to take medication or not. Nobody's going to force you. And so I think there's a big fear for a lot of people who have mental health disorders. They don't want to go to a counselor or a psychiatrist or psychologist because they're afraid that they might be put in a, you know, the first, another myth is, oh, if I tell them I'm hearing voices or I'm really depressed, they're going to put me in a crazy house. That's not true either. If, let's say, I go in tomorrow to a hospital and say, or a psychiatrist, and say, hey, I've been hearing voices in my head, they will do a battery of tests to see where is it coming from, seeing if it is a mental health disorder or is something else going on, maybe something that you're ingesting that might be causing that. Once they figure that out, they will help you with the medication so those voices can stop. They will help you with take you to counseling so that you can work on coping skills to help you do come up or whatever issue that's happening comes up so you can learn how to deal with it. Because a lot of counseling is learning coping skills so that you can work on these things that are bothering you. But you have to be open and willing to, I cannot make anybody do something that they don't want to, especially adults, right? So it's a choice. Counseling is a choice, to go to counseling or to get help. The same way if you feel you have a cold, you have a choice to go to the doctor if you want about it and get medication. You have a choice to go to a pharmacy and get some medication for that. Or you have the choice to just deal with it and not take anything. The same way mental health works that way, okay? The only time anybody will and make you stay somewhere is because you are a hindrance to your own self or somebody else. So, like, if you are suicidal to the point that you have a plan, that you already made up your mind that this is what you're going to do, and a professional hears that, of course they're going to want to keep you safe and not hurt yourself. And it's not as dramatic as people make it out to be. They'll have you stay in the hospital. They'll have you, again, see a psychiatrist and a counselor They'll do a battery test. They'll give you the help that you need. They'll hold you for 24 hours to 48 hours, and after that you could go home if you have the proper help at home. If not, then they'll keep you there or send you to a facility where you can get, again, proper help. And all these things can be worked out. You're part of the choice, too. You're part of the conversation because it's your health. A lot of people think that they end up staying there. They're stuck there. And they're just left there. That's not true. That's not true. Again, you have to have an extreme mental health disorder that you're completely not thinking straight, don't have no capacity to make a decision for yourself, for people to put you in a mental health institution.
Mm. Yeah. If you are just tuning in, thank you so much for being here. You're so amazing. I appreciate it. We have an extraordinary special guest today. She is super fabulous, and she is blessing us on so many levels. And I'm super excited. She is one of my UNT alma maters, one of my alumni, one of my Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated sisters forever. And I'm super excited to feature her here today on the Shine Lord Radio Show on We Talk Radio Network. She is the incredible. She is the amazing licensed professional counselor, speaker, and life coach, Litza Bowden. I am truly excited to share your story today, share everything that you do and how much you bless the world. We do have a couple of questions. You mentioned something a moment ago. Someone messaged in. Can food affect your mental health?
Yes, it can. A lot of things in our life affect our mental health, and people think nothing of it, right? Sometimes certain foods, and it also depends on your body chemistry, right? Sometimes our brain takes things differently than other people. And sometimes food, sometimes our environment can cause mental health issues, or family can cause us mental health issues. Also medication, like certain medications that we take can change our mood and cause us to have mental health issues. So a perfect example of that, I used to work for Parkland Hospital at a women's clinic, and a lot of women would get certain type of birth control and then wonder why they were feeling moody or they were, you know, just feeling sad sometimes, and it was the birth control that was causing that. But it's everybody. It just depends on your body chemistry and how your body's taking in that medication. I just wish sometimes the doctors will make sure and say that to you so that you will be aware that that could be a symptom, right? Because I'll give you an example, and I'm not trying to, like, bash this certain type of birth control, but the Depo shot is one of them that can cause, if you already have depression, like let's say you have a light depression, it's something that you deal with, you can handle. But you don't take medication for it, you might just be, you know, going day to day with it, and you're living a normal life. But then you get that shot. There's so many hormones in that shot because it lasts a lot of months. It lasts 3 months. So it's 3 months of hormones getting shot in your body at once. And so it might cause some women to get depressed, even more depressed than they already were because it's just so much hormones. So, again, it just depends on your body chemistry and how it can affect it. So it's very important to be honest with your doctor when you are, when you're going for anything. If you're going through a little bit of depression, again, that doesn't mean the doctor's going to be like, oh, you need to take this medicine, or you need to get counseling, blah, blah, blah. They're just going to, you're just letting them know what's going on with you so that the medication, the new medication they're giving you doesn't affect what's going on with you or make it worse. So I really hope that people start being more transparent with their doctors so that they can make sure that the medication they're giving them doesn't affect other things. That's the same way if you are taking, I don't know, any other type of medication and you're trying to lose weight and a certain medication might make it hard. Of course, you're not going to want to take it. But if you're not telling your doctor, hey, I'm concerned about my weight, I'm trying to lose weight right now, they're going to give you that medication and you're wondering why I'm working out so hard and it's still not going down. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to be honest with our doctors and go to the doctor and get checkups, you know? And another thing is if you have a lot of doctors, just regular general doctors, if your primary care doctors, a lot of them can give you medication for mental health. Comfortable enough, if you have like a light depression, a light anxiety, something's going on in your life at that moment that you might need some medication to help you get through it, then they will prescribe it to you. Not all these mental health medications are for forever either. I think that's another myth that people have. That they feel like, okay, if I start taking a depression medication or anxiety medication, I have to take it for the rest of my life. That's not the case. Now, some people that who have, again, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, any type of mood disorder, then maybe they might have to take medication for a longer time because it helps stabilize their brain so they can function. But yes, back to your. I'm sorry if I went off.
Amazing.
Back to your first.
No, that was perfect.
About food. Food can affect you, and because again, it the chemicals in food can affect your brain. And I'm not talking about just like chemicals that they inject into food nowadays. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking more about, for example, if you eat a lot of sugar stuff. Sugar has the same effect on your brain just like cocaine. It gets you addicted to it. So if you're having issues stopping eating like a lot of carbs and sugars, most likely you're addicted to eating carbs and sugar because the effect it has on your brain, it gives you a high. So, and I know I bet you a lot of people are like, oh, my God, but I'm not saying to stop eating sugars or carbs. I'm just saying you have to, again, everything to a limit, right? So food does affect it.
I mean, absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. I don't think anybody really realized that piece about the sugars, which is amazing. Do you mind talking about self-diagnosis? A lot of people want to self-diagnose themselves. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
I mean, we all do it, right? We go to Dr. Google, and I have these symptoms. Let me go to Dr. Google and see what I got. To me, all that does is makes you more anxious and makes you feel more scared about it. There's nothing wrong with looking up some of your symptoms and saying, okay, this confirms what I'm thinking. Like, or at least it gives me an idea of what I was thinking. Let me now go and get some real testing, or let me go and talk to a professional about it. And again, there's so many ways for people to get help, so they don't have to feel like they shouldn't be scared to ask questions. Mm. And I think a lot of people are because of the stigma, but if you're just inquiring, I don't think there's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all. You know, I want to thank you. You've given us so much amazing information today. And I think a lot of people, especially right now, need this information. They need it not only right now in the forefront of their minds, but they're going to need it in their back pockets as well. Because you may not be experiencing anything like this today, and fingers and toes, all my phalanges across, that you never do have to experience anything like this. But what happens when you do, right? what happens when it's your mom or your child or a brother or a sister or someone or you? You know, what happens? You can actually put a pin in this information and go, come back to it, listen to this interview again, and then I want you to reach out to Lisa Bowden, all right? Now, this is the deal. You may be saying, I'm not in this area. I don't live in the United States. We're gonna talk about that as well. Some things that you can do if you're not accessible or if she's not accessible to you. I want to talk about that with you as well, Ms. Lisa. You know, I want to find out who you can help and what areas. You know, if that's all over the world, great, let's do it. If that's certain areas, you know, if it's virtual calls that you can do now, let us know how people can take advantage and actually get help that they need, that much needed help that they need.
Well, definitely. My services, I'm only certified in Texas. Here in the United States, you have to be certified for each state that you work, that you could give counseling in. I'm trying to get certified in other states as well, but for right now, I'm only certified in Texas, so I could give counseling services to anybody in Texas. But you just need to look into, do a search for a counselor in your area, right? So there's a lot of websites now that are available you could do a search and be more specific, like do a search for what insurance you have, the area you live in, if you want to go face-to-face or online, because that's another, you know, that's the beauty of now. There's a lot of therapists offering services that they weren't offering online now. So that's another option for people who don't want to go to the office and sit in front of somebody. They can do it online and feel comfortable in their home or wherever they're doing the therapy sessions at. Another thing is, and I could tell y'all some of the search engines. There's Psychology Today, which is one of the major ones that people use. And then if you want to be more specific, like when it comes to, there's Therapy for Black Girls, which is a really good search engine. And there's also Therapy for Latinx. And there is even Therapy for Asians. So if you just do a search of for one of those sites, you'll be able to find your niche, right? And then for people who want somebody who has or versed in their religious background, there are Christian counselors, there's Muslim counselors, there's all type of counselors that are versed in your religion, and also people that are versed in whatever issue that you might be looking for. So those search engines that I was telling you about, like Psychology Today, Therapy for Black Girls, let's say you're an African-American woman and you're looking for somebody who is versed in trauma. You could do a search for trauma counseling, and a whole bunch of African-American women and men that are look just like you will pop up on that search. So, you know, if you have something specific, right? Now, if you're just looking for a therapist, then, yeah, I mean, you could just look in your area for a therapist. And you have to make sure they're in your state, where you live. And if you live overseas, you could also look for people in your area. Every country has their own rules when it comes to therapy. So I know, like, for example, in Panama, they have therapists in Panama that can give services, but they don't allow services given from people overseas. So it just depends on the country that you're in when it comes to being overseas.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Again, we are joined today by an extraordinary woman. This is Woman's Month, and we are celebrating incredible women around the globe. And today, this morning, on the Shine Lord Radio Show, we are celebrating the incredibleness of Lissa Bowden. And we want to thank you so much for doing what you do and taking the time to see a need. I heard what you said. You saw a need in the community for people who look like you, which I think a lot of times we miss the mark on doing things for people that look like us because no one else is doing things for people who look like us. And and we missed the mark on that. And so I appreciate you for doing that. And I do know that you see other people outside of people who look like you, but that desire to help initially came from that. And it's just a beautiful thing. And again, she is not here to take advantage of you. She's here to help and push you and elevate you. And all of your life, you have dealt with people who have just tried to take. This is someone who is going to give back into your life. And it's absolutely amazing. I am someone who has gone through counseling before. I did not go to counseling until I was 21 years old. The only reason why I even went to counseling, and this is truth, 100% fact. When I was 19 years old, I took a job at a counseling center. And for 2 years, my boss kept saying, come up here, sit on my couch, come talk to me. I think she could tell that I was amazing, but that I had, there was something there that was going on with me that, of course, no one knew about, not even myself, because I hadn't even talked about the sexual abuse just yet. We hadn't even got to that part in my life just yet. And I hadn't dealt with it. It was there. I just hadn't dealt with it. And so I didn't go to counseling until I was 21 years old when she was like, hey, come up here and talk to me. Sit at my desk. And I sit at my table, on my couch, and I did. I went up one day just like, all right, we're going to go do this. And I went up there, and it changed my life. Now, the crazy thing about it is I didn't see that counselor. I want to make this clear because I want people to understand that the first counselor may not be the one. But I didn't shut it down. Yeah. She opened something up for me. She opened a door. And I appreciate Carol for doing that. Dr. Carol Lennox is her name. And I appreciate Dr. Carol Lennox for doing that for me. What I ended up doing, though, was going to see another young lady who I was a little bit more comfortable with, I think, because she was my boss. So I didn't want my boss looking at me crazy. But again, because I was the stigma for us with counseling is that you tell somebody your business, they're going to be all up in you. They're going to look at you crazy. They're going to, all of that, because that's what happened to me in the past. You tell somebody your business and you're talked about badly. When I told somebody when I was 11 years old that I was sexually assaulted, it went awry. It didn't go how I was trying to. And I was 11. I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? I didn't ask for that. But they turned me almost into a perpetrator. It was just crazy how it ended up happening. But anyway, I was a victim. I want to bring you on again to talk about next month is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. I'd love to bring you back on next month to talk about the stigma of sexual assault awareness, to talk about that piece as well. I think it's really, really important for us to talk about that because I think sexual assault is just, the effects of that, how it affects you mentally, how it affects you in your work, all of that. But I didn't go to the first counselor and stay there. I actually went to another counselor in the same practice. She didn't own it, but she was there. She was cool. She was sweet. I liked her. I felt like she could, I felt like once that door was open, I was like, okay, there is something I need. I need to keep walking in that. And that's exactly what I did. So shout out to Dr. Lennox. Carol Darwin was the first one that I saw. Who was my boss, Carol Lennox, was the young lady that I continued to see for years. And one thing I noticed that you said about counseling, it doesn't have to last forever. There's stages, there's things, there may be a time. Matter of fact, there was like 5 years that went by, and I didn't even see or talk to Dr. Carol. And reached out to her like, hey, listen, I'm going through a transition period in my life. She's like, come on in. So the deal is you can't, if you know you need assistance in some area, if you're going through some kind of transition and you need additional help, you tried to do it on your own for many, many years, and it may not have worked out like you wanted it to. It's okay. It's okay to walk into a counseling office. It's okay to go see someone. It's okay to tell someone in private your business. There's a lot of people, especially that look like me, that are scared to tell anyone their business for the stigma that it will place on them, right? Don't be scared. Don't be terrified.
I think the beauty of going to therapy is that you don't have to, you're not going to have that in that office. You have a safe space to speak to somebody that doesn't know you, that doesn't have any bias, and you don't have to worry about being judged. That's the beauty of therapy. When you tell staff, and that's good to have social support. So I'm not saying never talk to your friends or your family about your issues, but they already have a bias about you. So and they're not going to be able to give you skills, coping skills, to work through these issues. They might listen to you, and that's great. We all need that. But it's also good to get the proper help for whatever is going on in your life. And again, it doesn't have to be nothing extreme. And I'll suggest to the listeners that if you're looking for a counselor, to ask the counselor to do a consultation with you, a short consultation, so that you could talk to the counselor, get to know them, and see their vibe. If you don't have that vibe or that connection to that person once you finish talking to them, then maybe that counselor is not for you, and that's okay. There's 10 million others, you know? So I've had a lot of people, I've done consultations with people, and I don't have that connection with them. And I'll say, are you sure this and to pick me to be your therapist? I mean, and a lot of people, they might not mesh with me because of my personality and my style of doing therapy, because everybody has a different style also. So that's okay, though. Find another person that meshes with you. So if you go to the first couple sessions and you're not feeling that therapist, that's all right. Get another therapist that will work with you and maybe do things a little bit better for you, okay? Because a lot of it has to do with the connection with the therapist and the client. If that's not vibing, I doubt there's going to be as much progress done in therapy if you're not having that connection. I just want to make sure and say that. You still there?
that's not where my blessings are, nor they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chains. But truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm loved.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I don't know what happened before, but it's all good. Welcome back to the Shine Lord Radio Show right here on We Talk Radio Network. Again, I don't know if you heard, I don't know where I cut out at, but one of the last things that I was doing was giving away the contact information for Litsa Bowden. I want to thank you again, Ms. Litsa, for being here today. Remember, a couple of reminders. She has a safe space. These counselors, all of them around the globe, they have a safe space for you to speak. They have no bias, no judgment zone. And don't forget, there are a lot of misconceptions about mental health. Food can affect your mental health. Food, environment, family, medicine can all be things that affect your mental health. So watch those. And don't forget, also talk to your doctor. It's very important to talk to your doctor about the medications that you are taking. Okay, talk about those side effects. Don't self-diagnose, okay? And, again, we're going to give out the contact information right now for the incredible and amazing Litsa Bowden. ShiningLightsLLC.com is where you can find her at. Ms. Bowden, go ahead and give us any other contact information that you'd like us to give. Also, tell us about your incredible website that looks so beautiful. We love it.
Oh, thanks. I'm Shining Lights LLC on Instagram and on Facebook as well. And so anybody has any questions, please hit me up. I don't mind answering them. I might not be in your state or where you live, but if you have a question about how to find a proper mental health therapist in your area, please hit me up. I don't mind answering that question. So on my website, ShiningLightsLLC.com. You could contact me there, or you could just email me at ShiningLightsLLC@gmail.com, and I will answer your question. I don't mind. So just say that you heard me on this show and that you have questions, and I will gladly answer any questions, because I know sometimes it's very hard to find somebody to talk to about these type of things, and a lot of people are scared to take that initial step. So I will help you find somebody, even if you're not in Texas, or you're in Texas and you maybe want somebody else to work with. That's fine too. I don't mind helping out.
I love it. I think it is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful that her life is that of a change agent, and that her life is that of was one of blessing other people. It's what God has created us to do, is to change lives, just be a great example, and we can do that by just doing exactly what God has given the plan that he's placed before us. I'm so glad that you're walking in that shining light, Queen. It's a beautiful thing to be able to see.
Thank
it.
You.
But we want to support you in any way that we can. Absolutely. Please let us know how we can support you in any way that we can. We're always here. We Talk Radio is always here for you. Kia D is always here for you. T. Smiley, our producer director of operations, is quiet today. He was literally soaking it all in because in our community, it's been a stigma for many, many years that we don't talk about our problems. You know, no shade on church, but we go to church. And so that's what, you know, the stigma has been. But I want to thank you so much for doing everything that you can to make sure that we don't have to live by those stigmas anymore. So thank you so much, Ms. Litsa Bowden. We appreciate your time, patience, and we can't wait to have you back on the show again.
Yes, I'm more than welcome to come back on the show. This was fun.
Yay! Super excited. We're definitely going to get you on next month. Absolutely. Can't wait. Cool beans. Thank you again for being here. We truly appreciate it. And yes, next month it is. Let's definitely get you on next month so that we can talk about, of course, Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Queen. Check her out, ShiningLightsLLC.com. Thank you. Woo! Thank you. Now, that was beautiful. I'm telling you. I love it. Do not miss the opportunity to be blessed by an incredible and amazing woman who literally, I'm telling you, her heart is absolutely full of gold and so amazing. Again, up next, you all know what happens next. Up next, it is Pastor Jeremy Glenn of Soil Church, and this is the Power of God's Community. This is a special message just for you entitled The Power of God's Community. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome
we'll be back
to the Shine Lord Radio Show right here on We Talk Radio Network.
All right. Good morning to everybody. Good morning to y'all in the Zoom room. Good morning to everybody out in Facebook Live world as well. And I want to thank all of y'all for tuning in on We Talk Radio, We Talk Radio online radio station. Thank all of y'all for tuning in with us as well. As we always say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in this day. Why do we do that? Because this day wasn't guaranteed. This day was not promised. And we just want to thank God for another day, another opportunity to be able to come before him on this morning. So again, thank all of y'all for joining us on this morning. Y'all, basically, y'all make up our e-community here. Each of you are e-vessels. We make up the e-family, and we have an e-community. So I want to thank all of you. And on Facebook, let me ask you to do something. Start a watch party. Start a watch party. Like this page. Share this page. Let God use you as an e-vessel for this day and this time. We need to make sure that in everything that we're doing, we're promoting the gospel. We're promoting the word of God. Do everything we can with what we have to promote the word of God. So again, I want to thank all of y'all for tuning in on this morning, and thank y'all for joining us in the Zoom room, the VIP room. I want to thank y'all out there all over the nation, Facebook Live, and then of course, the lovely Ms. Glenn right here. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you for your attendance as well. So I want to talk to a special group of people this morning. I want to talk to a special group of people on this morning. I want to talk to the leaders today. I want to talk to the leaders today. We're going to talk to the leaders. We're going to have some leadership one-on-one with this message on today, and we're going to see where God is taking this. Now, I want to talk to the leaders, but you may ask yourself, am I a leader? Is he talking to me? Is he saying this to me? Am I a leader? And I want to simply answer that question, yes, you are. You are a leader. If you're listening to this message, whoever you are, whenever you're listening to it, you, sir, you, ma'am, are, in fact, a leader, and I'll tell you why. Leadership is very simple. It's influence. If you have influence, you're a leader. Now, we've been talking in our series, The Power of Relationships. We've been talking about leading in relationships. We lead in relationships. And we've also talked about the power of the family and how we have leaders in our families that lead us into keeping the glue strong, keeping the nucleus strong in our families. And we talked about the power of friendships and how friends are going to have positive influence on you. Remember we said iron sharpens iron, right? And it sharpens that countenance, your mood. It helps you to kind of, you know, that person is assigned to you because it helps you to just really understand the value when they can help you change your countenance. All of that, all of those are forms of leadership. So I want to talk to all the leaders out there because we all have families. We all have friends. So therefore, you are, in fact, a leader. Now, with that being said, I want to talk about, you know, a real special leader. And we talked about this gentleman last week. We talked about a guy by the name of King Solomon. Remember, we talked about King Solomon and how he was the son of the great King David. We talked about him, and we talked about Solomon in the Hebrew meaning man of peace. In the Hebrew, that name means man of peace. And why is that? Why is his name man of peace? Why was he named man of peace? Because his father David, the great king that he wasn't perfect. David had some, he struggled with some things. He had some strongholds that he had to work with. Okay, he had an adulterous lifestyle being king. He was out of order. He did a lot of things to really damage his relationship with God, but God is a forgiving God. David repented of his sins, and he had an adulterous relationship with this lady by the name of Bathsheba. who by the time at that time was married to one of the soldiers in the army of Israel. But David, he desired her. He went after her, right? He did those things. He was way out of order. But he repented and he got his life right with God. And he decided after he had her husband in that was in the army, after he had him killed because of his desire, he did a few things that were bad. They weren't always good. He failed. He had struggles, right? But he got his life right with God. God forgave him. So when him and Bathsheba, they married, they became a union, they became one flesh. He did it the right way. The first son that they had together after they were married is Solomon. So therefore, Solomon represents that peace treaty, if you will, that peace between David and God that established his forgiveness from God and David doing things the right way. Okay? So Solomon was born from that union, the first son born from that union between him and Bathsheba. And he began to grow and see his father and just kind of hang around the kingdom. And eventually David saw some things in him when he was later in life, later in his years, where he appointed Solomon to become the higher of the kingdom, okay, to take over the kingdom. And as David became older, he became older and he was leading and things were kind of falling apart because he was up in age and you know, the people of Israel were kind of going through some struggles. This is why I want to talk to the leaders, because things happen, things change. But you can't get weary in well-doing. So as David came to the end of his life and he appointed Solomon to rule the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, one of the greatest forces on the history of the earth, he appointed Solomon. And Solomon had big shoes to fill. He had big shoes to fill. When you become promoted, leader, when you become promoted in your jobs and your careers, you're going to have some big shoes to fill most of the time. But you can't give up. You can't get weary. You can't get weary in well-doing. You can't give up, even though it seems like those shoes are big. Those shoes are big to fill. Whatever it is that you're doing, you got to stay strong. You got to stay tough because people were used to the way David did things. People were used to the Davidic style of leadership, Davidic style, the Davidic time. That's David and the way he did things. He had a hard stamp on the people of Israel during that time. Remember, he was a guy that slain Goliath and brought the head to King Saul, right? Remember that guy. Right, who was the crafty musician and wrote the Psalms and was leading in praise and worship. He was a very beloved guy. So Solomon had his work cut out for him to step into leadership. But I want to tell you something, because the kingdom of Israel kind of went through a transition. They went through some turbulence during that time, because anytime you step into a new role, there's going to be the people, well, your daddy did it this way. Well, this is the way, David, this is the way I'm used to doing it. You know, you got those negative Nancys and those negative Neds all in your ear. But Solomon had to understand the value of leadership and stepping into that role, galvanizing the troops. This is what we're talking about on today. And we have to understand anytime there is a transition, there's going to be a little bit of turbulence, but you cannot give up as a leader. You can't get weary in well-doing. You got to continue to keep your eye on the prize and stay with it and don't give up. Because one thing that Solomon understood, if the people of Israel would just buy into the way that he's doing things, if they would just give him a chance, let him galvanize some things, let him kind of get some things back in order, get some things kind of rounded back up. His father started to run out of energy and things kind of get a little out of hand and things got a little bit, you know, out of hand right during that time. But if they would just come together as one, if they would just give each other a chance, buy into the new way that things are going to come, things are going to happen, they would then begin to understand the power of God's community. Our message on today is the power of God's community. Let us go into a moment of prayer as we get ready to go into this message on today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we graciously thank you for another wonderful word. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord. Thank you for the living word of God that lives through us. It speaks through us, and it meets us where we are. The word penetrates, Lord. It's potent. It speaks into our spirits, and we just want to thank you for it on today, Lord. I want to thank you to every listening ear out there, to every open heart, every open spirit on this morning, Lord. I just pray that you come in and have your way. Fill them with your presence. Fill them with your word, Lord. Fill us all, Lord Jesus, because we know that without you, we are absolutely nothing. We need you. Less of us, Lord, more of you. Fill us, Lord Jesus, with the fuel that we need to be the leaders that we need to be in your community. In the mighty, magnificent name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Thank all of you. Facebook Live, thank all of y'all that makes up our e-family, our e-community, and thank everybody in the VIP section on the Zoom room as well. So as we were talking to leaders, as we're talking to leaders here, there's a thing called transition that has to take place when you step into a new role. This is what Solomon had to experience. He had to experience transition. And what transition simply means is there's two words that make up transition. Trans, which is transformation, and position, which is position. Transition, okay? Transforming position. Transforming position. Anytime that happens, there's going to be a little bit of turbulence. There's always going to be a little bit of adaptation that has to happen. But again, we have to understand in new leadership, it requires transition for trust, for decision-making, as well as for culture change. Culture change. There has to be an establishment of trust. There has to be an establishment and understanding that there's new decisions that are going to be made, and thus that's going to affect the culture that we're in. Now, Solomon had to battle this challenge, okay, to get people to accept his ways and the new things that he would bring to the table. He had a different way of doing things. He had a different way. He had a different thought process, the way he did things. But again, he knew enough and had enough wisdom to know that if the people would understand where he is taking them, where he's taking them, if the people would understand that, they would understand the power of God's community. Now, I want you on this morning, I want you to turn into the Bible. And as we talk, the Bible is made up of two components, okay? Those that are on We Talk Radio, I've got two hands that I'm holding up. I got two hands holding up in the prayer position, right? The left hand, as I separate the left hand, represents the Old Testament, Genesis, through the book of Malachi, okay? Then there's a right hand that I'm holding up, which represents the New Testament, which is Matthew through Revelations. Now, we also, in the New Testament, have what we call the four books, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who were four of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus, and they all have four different accounts of their experience, the things that they saw, things that they witnessed when they were walking with Jesus during that time. So that's kind of like the grace period, and technically, and in the upper room, when the Holy Spirit made his grand introduction, that is really, from a biblical standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, that's really the New Testament, because that's when Jesus sent the Helper. And that's when we were able to now become and receive the power to do his work. That is the New Testament. Okay? But for the purposes of the message on today, let's hang out in the Old Testament for now. I want you to go into the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. Okay? The book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, okay? It's, you know, around Proverbs, Song of Solomon, you know, kind of in there. I can't tell you what page it's on, right? Don't know the page number. But go into the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Chapter 4, if you will. Okay? We're going to read verses 9 through 12. Verses 9 through 12. And I am coming from the New King James Version of the Bible, okay? The New King James Version of the Bible, which reads, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. This is Solomon that is writing this book. Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, okay? Now, verse number 10 says, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. This is the reason why God said it's not good for man to be alone. For he has no one to help him up. Verse number 11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. What Solomon wants us to understand is there is strength in numbers. And this is what he was trying to get and galvanize and reinstill in the people of Israel as they were building, reestablishing, building God's powerful community. And for the purposes of that text, I want to use a quick illustration here, and I want to just kind of break this down so that we can understand. A couple things that he said is in this word here, he talked about a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So I want to talk real quick here about string versus rope as we're exegeting in this word, string versus rope. On We Talk Radio, I'm holding up a piece of string right now. Okay, I'm holding up a piece of string right now. And the reason why it's not good for man to be alone, especially when it comes to building a team, okay, building a community, building a family, okay, when you try to do something by yourself, the pressures get to you. Things happen. You get a little off track. And when you do that, okay, this piece of string was very easily broken. All I did was just gently pull it, and it snapped. This, again, is why it's not good for man to be alone. We cannot do things alone. Okay? This is what he wanted us to understand. This piece of string broke very gently, very easily. But he said a threefold cord is not easily broken. We Talk Radio, I've got basically a woven rope that makes up several different layers of that same piece of string here that we had, or piece of string that we had here, right? Now, if I use the same strength and I try to break this, it doesn't snap. The reason why that is because there's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. What God wants his people to know and understand on today is there is strength in numbers. And there is power that comes from his community. Okay, there's power that comes from God's community. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. If my people who are called by my name, God is letting us know that when we come together and work together, there is strength in numbers, which make up the power of his community. I'll give you an example. Most of you know I'm a guy that grew up in sports, and I love sports, and sports are very near and dear to me. And one of my favorite athletes of all time is a guy by the name of Michael Jeffrey Jordan, okay? Michael Jordan. We got a lot of Michael Jordan fans out there, I'm sure. Think about Michael Jordan. When he came into the league, Michael was a scoring champion. Okay, he was very energetic. Won the slam dunk competition. You know, he put up a lot of great stats when it was just him and he was in that individual mindset. Michael was everything that you could want as an individual superstar. But there was a guy that came into his life by the name of Phil Jackson that helped change Michael's philosophy. At the time, Michael had string philosophy. And although it's good, you can set all the records and you can do all these things as an individual in the game of basketball, you're not a one-on-one player. It's five-on-five. And if Michael didn't learn to change his mindset, he was going to be just like this string eventually. He was going to snap. Because the body can only take so much when you're trying to do things, here's God's word, alone. But Phil Jackson helped Michael Jordan to change his mindset and start helping him to develop into having a rope mentality. What does that mean? A rope mentality involving teammates, passing the ball more efficiently, trusting his teammates. Everything that we talked about here as we're establishing a community. Okay, learning to trust teammates, involving teammates, being a better distributor of the basketball and all of those things. And when Michael Jordan took on rope mentality, that's when we had one championship, two championships, three championships. He left to go play baseball, kind of stepped back into that string mentality again, right? Kind of had that same mindset. He was so used to rope mentality, he came back to basketball. I miss my rope, came back, fourth championship, fifth championship, sixth championship, because that is the difference between having a string mentality and a rope mentality. Again, there's strength in numbers. And when we come together and work as a team, as we've been talking about, this is what the people of God's community can do when we work as a team. So as we said, the power of relationships, they lay the blueprint for teamwork. And when families, friends, and the people that you know have rope mindsets, that rope mentality, they can contribute substantially to the community of God. So we're talking about community here, right? We're talking about the power of God's community. So let's talk about community. Let's dive into what community is. What is community exactly? What's community? Well, community, again, is made up of two words, common and unity. Common unity. Common means that things are common. You know people. You're on the same team. You kind of have the same interests, so to speak. And unity means coming together. Common unity. Community starts in the mind. Michael Jordan had to change his mind. Solomon tried to get the people of Israel to change their mind. Community starts in the mind. Community is a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common interests and goals. Think about that in terms of being God's community. What are our interests? What do we share? What are we trying to do here? We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. Community is the launch pad for new relationships to be planted, cultivated, and to grow. It's the launch pad for new relationships to be planted, cultivated, and grow. Remember that message we had about the soil, the parable of the soils, the name of our ministry here, soil, spirit of inspiring love. It's something about planting, cultivating, and growing that God loves, because that makes up the entire human experience. We're planted as seeds, we cultivate, we grow. And that's what God wants us to understand is really and truly the blueprint of fellowship and worship in Him. Now that we understand what community means, let's talk about the benefits. We're going to talk about the benefits of a community. Why have a community if there's no benefits? Why understand the power of community if you can't understand how it benefits us in today's time? If we can't understand how it benefits us and what we're doing and what we're trying to live and achieve on today. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about those benefits of a strong community as we're connecting these dots here and understanding what God wants us to understand as we're working on the power of His community, of His community. Now, unto Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or ask according to the power that's within us. And who makes up God's community? We make up God's community. So the benefits of having a strong community, number one, a strong community, and I'll post this on Facebook later today. I'm going to post these points here on Facebook as well, okay? And I'll send it to you via email if you want me to. Let me know if you want this information. I'll be happy to send it to you. Number one, a strong community helps build strong relationships. A strong community helps build strong relationships. In Romans 1 and 11, Paul is talking to the Roman church that he planted. Romans 1 and 11 through 12, verses 11 through 12 says, and this is Paul talking to the Roman people, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Okay, gift, preaching, teaching, right, ministering, so forth and so on, right, prophecy, all those things are spiritual gifts. I long to see that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may mutually, common unity, community, right, that we may mutually be encouraged by each other's faith. Now, Paul, in that text there, he is speaking to the Roman believers because it takes strength to build relationships. So he's saying, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, strength, to make you strong. That is so that you and I be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Remember we talked about what friends do for you. Okay, we're encouraging, we're uplifting. So number one is a strong community helps build strong relationships. I am my brother's keeper. I have to be strong. I have to go back and strengthen my brother. The Bible is very, very specific about us building up one another because he knows, again, man, it's not good for man to be alone. We have to build one another up. And we have to continue to do that. Now, I got more points here. I almost said some things. Got some more points. We're going to jump in here, too. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Number two, the benefits of a strong community. Number two, it helps enforce, here's that word, accountability. It helps enforce accountability. Okay? Remember we just said in our message last week, right? Remember, iron sharpens iron. And we're talking about in the countenance, the mood, the way you think, the way you're acting. I almost said something to that person that cut in front of me in traffic. They made me lose my temper, and I was going to react. I was going to do something ungodly. I was going to get off the beaten trail. I was going to exit off of this ramp here. Now, the interstate told me to keep going. I've got about four or five exits to go, but because I got distracted or I let my emotions get the best of me, I'm going to exit off this ramp early. That friend is going to say, no, sir, no, ma'am. You stay on this path. You keep going forward. This is not your exit. Wow, that's a message right there. This is not your exit. You got to keep your eyes focused on where you need to go, and that friend is going to help you. It's going to help you stay where you need to go. So accountability is simply helping you to stay focused, and as you get kind of off, you know, that accountability helps to kind of check you, bring you back into the perspective, bring you back into where you need to be. And a friend is a good person for that. And as we build our community here, and as we understand the power of God's community, we're going to be connected to a network of people that's going to help enforce accountability. So Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, that's why I'm calling us leaders, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Not clinging with the symbol, not forcing down their throat, not, oh, you did this, you did that. That's not how God does us. Even when he chastens us in love. God is a loving God. Okay, he's not this, that's not God. Not after Jesus came. That God was back in the Old Testament. That, okay, the God of today in the New Testament, the God that we're serving today is a loving and gentle God who loves us in all that we do. That's why Jesus came. Jesus cleansed us from that. He is our ambassador, right? So remember, we correct people in gentleness, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. That's Galatians 6:1, Paul talking to the church in Galatians. All right? So I want us to understand here that that's exactly what we want to do here. So a strong community helps enforce accountability. All right? So as we're talking about the benefits of a strong community, number three, it helps meet the needs of its people. This is one of my personal favorites right here. It helps meet the needs of its people. Talking about the benefits of having a strong community. Okay, in Acts, okay, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, 44 through verses 45, Acts 2, 44 through 45 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. All the believers during that time, Apostle Paul, the disciples, everyone that believed in Jesus after he had resurrected, came back, reappeared again, and he told them, okay, he was going to send them that helper. They were in this place called the upper room. They were waiting on the grand introduction of the Holy Spirit during this time. So when the Bible right here is saying all the believers were together and had everything in common, common unity, common, right? Community, that's what we're talking about. Here's the next sentence, and I want you to hear this. They sold property, my leaders in real estate. They sold property. Y'all thought real estate started. No, this has been going on, okay? They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had a need. Think about that. They sold property. They sold possessions. They sold grandma's cookies, grandma's peach cobbler. They sold barbecue dinners, whatever that was, and they used their gifts and they used their talents to help meet the needs of the people of God. So this is what a community can do. A community can put its assets together, mindset together, common unity, come together and think about what it can do to help meet the needs of its people. Okay? And so whatever it is, whether you're selling property, possessions, whatever that is, it can be created as a revenue stream to be a blessing to those in need. Think about that. A revenue stream can be created just to help meet the needs of God's people. A revenue stream can be created to help do wonderful things in today's time. He said, greater works we shall do. And he's now helping us to understand the benefits of the community, because you don't have to do it by yourself. Connect with people, network with people, come together as a team, come together with common unity so we can put our minds together, so we can put our thoughts together and help meet the needs of the people of God. So number three is it helps meet the needs of its people. Number four, the benefits of having a strong community. Number four, it allows you to be a part of a greater cause. It allows you to be a part of a greater cause. Okay, in the book of Philippians, Philippians 3 and 14, Paul is talking. He's talking to the church of Philippi. And he's saying, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The greater cause is always bigger than us and is bigger than where we are. That high calling, that mark, that high calling, it's bigger than where he was. And he wants us to understand that cause, God's cause, what he's commissioned us to do. We talk about the Great Commission, right? Reaching all the earth, right? Reaching all the earth, going out and being witnesses and making disciples, reaching all the earth. That cause is bigger than us. I want to give a quick shout out to one of my cousins in the greater Los Angeles, California area, Tyrone Nance, because he's a very inspiring, doing some great things in that community out there. And as he's leading the community out there, doing great things out there in that community, they have a slogan. His group has a slogan. They wear a T-shirt, and it says, it's bigger than us. His slogan is, it's bigger than us. We're doing these things. We're affecting the community, but at the same time, we're not going to lose focus of the high calling. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than today. I'm looking generations down the road. My kids, children's children. I'm looking at this from a generational standpoint because it's bigger than us. It's bigger than us. God is bigger than the thoughts that we have. Okay? His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. So as we understand, as we're doing the work, and we understand the power of God's community, it allows us to be a part of a greater cause. We all want to be a part of something that's greater than what we are. We all want to do something that's greater than we want to leave that legacy. You know, I've got this thing called, and if you follow me on Facebook for a while now, it's called the 4L philosophy. Okay? The number 4, and the L is in Larry, right? The 4L philosophy. Leave. Okay, you wanna leave. You wanna do some things. You wanna leave some things behind. It's bigger than us. But you wanna live life to leave a legacy. Live life to leave a legacy. That's my 4L philosophy. That's what we wanna do. As you live in this life, you wanna throw some breadcrumbs to those that are following you behind. You wanna do something that's bigger than you, that's greater than you. Okay, we talked about last week. We all have a special fingerprint. We all have a special fingerprint. Because the imprint that we're going to leave in this world is unlike anybody else's imprint can be left because it's unique. But you're leaving that imprint. Live life to leave a legacy. Put that out there in the chat, Facebook Live. Live life to leave a legacy. 4L philosophy. Live life to leave a legacy. Okay? So remember, it allows you to be a part of a greater cause. And number five, and my final point, I want to thank all of y'all for joining us on Facebook Live and those that have joined us in the Zoom room. All you folks make up our e-community, the power of God's community. I want to thank y'all for being a part of that. Number five, the larger the community, the larger the impact. The larger the community, the larger the impact. Matthew 5 and 30 says, and large crowds came to him, talking about Jesus, large crowds, they heard about the things that Jesus was doing. They heard about all the miracles and things that are being performed. So when Jesus was around, everybody showed up, and they came in massive crowds. Large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, who were crippled, who were blind, who were mute, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. This is what happened when Jesus was coming around. It was the community that brought those that needed healing to Jesus. These were families and friends and loved ones and people that knew people and knew other people and knew other people, and they all connected. They came together. Okay? They organized and they mobilized, right? They organized and they mobilized. They came together when they saw Jesus coming. Okay? And they brought people to him. It was the uncles and nephews and nieces and aunts and grandparents. They're gathering everybody to there. That community came together and they all wanted to make sure that they were at the feet of Jesus, brought those that were sick, that were in need. And they used the strength and the power of the community to bring those people for that one moment, because you did not want Jesus to pass you by. So you wanted to utilize all your assets and your strength and come together, so when Jesus meets you, you've got everything that you need. And you also made provisions for everybody else to be there, so that when he passes by, you're able to receive the healing, receive the blessing. So number five is, the larger the community, the larger the impact. Again, there's strength in numbers, y'all. And this is what Solomon wanted the people of Israel to know and to get back to realizing and understand. So as I close, I want us to understand something here. The community of God, y'all, the community of God is very, very unique. And this is a team that never loses. This is a team that never loses. The community, it has been striving and thriving for more than 3,000 years. This community has been on point for more than 3,000 years. And our instruction manual, the Holy Bible, okay? The Holy Bible, our instruction manual, the Holy Bible, it lets us know that the best is still yet to come in God's community. We have to read the word, digest the word, hear what the word is saying, because when you do that, it lets you know that there are still greater things ahead of us. And I want to leave you with this, and again, thank all of you on this one. I want to leave you with this. God didn't intend for us to live in isolation. That's why this pandemic has been so damaging from a mental standpoint. God did not intend for us to live in isolation. He told us in Genesis that it is not good that man should be alone. We were created in his image, and he trusted us to carry forth the purpose and plan that he has for us. But remember, when he made us, he used the power of relationships to specifically design us. Gave us a spirit, the great mind that we have. He said, I want y'all to have as much of me as I can make you have. So he called on the Son that gave us his life. He called on the Holy Spirit that gave us his power. And God gave us his image. And that's what he thought about us, because he used relationships to just make us. He used the power of relationships to construct us, to manufacture us. Because he wants us to be as much of him as we can be in this world today. But he never meant for us to do it alone. We have to have rope mentality. Right? The threefold cord is not easily broken. He wants us to have rope mentality in all that we do. Championship mentality. So that our best, when we're at our best, we can do our best. And we're at our best when we're doing things together as one. And we can experience the highs, we can experience the lows, we can experience the ups, we can experience the downs, but when we strive for excellence as a team, the best is yet to come. God's community, as I close, God's community gives you the chance to be around people at different stages of their life, different levels of faith. Maybe they're a new believer, maybe they're a seasoned believer, but we come together as one. Bring all our assets, our mindsets, our ideas, and everything that we have. Bring it together as one, so that we can go forth and reach the common goal that he needs for his people to reach in today's time. It doesn't matter what denomination you're a part of. I'm going to say this. I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it. I don't care if you're Baptist, Pentecost. It does not matter. We're all one community of God. And it is time for us to tear down the walls of denominations and be one community with God. We have to think outside the box, because there are people that have needs. There are people that need to be inspired, and they need to see us, the leaders of God's community, to come together. If we can't come together, then how can we promote the kingdom effectively in the way that it should be promoted? We have to effectively do it, and we come together as a team to do it. Not just within our four walls and being confined, That's what the enemy wants. He wants thy vision. But God is saying in this day and time, we don't have time for that. We have to come together as one. Come together in unity. Come together and utilize rope mentality. Rope mentality to meet all the needs. Not just my denominational needs or my denominational structure or whatever that is. Okay? It is the God in all of us that needs to meet the needs of his people in today, in today's time. Now, what God wants us to understand that, because here are some things that he wants us to understand. You get a chance to be around people, okay, different stages of their life, bear their burdens, sharpen their countenance, okay, learn from one another, and to teach one another. You're never too old to learn, and you're never too young to teach. But when we come together as a community, we can experience that. We can see that. What can the young people in God's community teach us that are more seasoned? What can the seasoned people of God's community teach those that are younger? Coming together as one God, as one church, as one community, as one, again, the rope mentality, coming together and doing great things in this day, in this time, because I don't know if y'all have been looking at what's going on, looking at what's happening in today's time. God is on his way back, and he's coming back for that church, right? That church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, right? He is soon to come back, and we can't let things divide us, stop him from coming back for that church that he's looking for. That church that he needs to see, that church that's on the inside of us, he's soon to come back. Things are happening like they've never happened before. Things are going on in this world that we have never seen before. So right now, in today's time, he needs the power of his community to do the work that it needs to do, to be all that it can be, to allow him to be relevant as possible, to do things that are immaculate, that are remarkable, just astronomical, just beyond what we can think or imagine, because that's what he wants to do. But we've got to have rope mentality in order to get there. Rope mentality, because there's strength in numbers. And what God wants us to know about, what he wants us to know about his community, that he wants his community to do some things. Here's what God thinks about his community as I close. Here's what he thinks about his community. God wants his community to thrive in financial literacy. God wants his community to thrive in good education. God wants his community to thrive in great business and great economics. God wants his community to thrive in good physical and mental health. God wants his community to thrive in fair and equal housing. God wants his community to thrive in racial equality. God wants his community to thrive in safe and healthy environments. God wants his community to thrive where there's clean water and nourishing foods. God wants his community to thrive at being disciples for the building of his kingdom in this day and this time. And he is letting us know that he needs his community to come together now more than ever before. He needs us. This is why I ask you if you were a leader, because you are. And he needs us as leaders, as salt of the earth, to sprinkle as much salt, add some flavor to this dark world, to shine some light where there's darkness. Darkness can't handle light. Darkness cannot handle you. When you are part of God's community, you're going to shine wherever you go. He needs it in your jobs. He needs it in your organizations. He needs it in your neighborhoods. He needs it in your cities. He needs it in your communities. He needs him to be promoted and represented in every, he said, all the earth, all of the earth. And he needs his people to come together like never before. And when we come together as community and we work to achieve these goals, we can experience the goodness of God on earth, today, on earth, as it is already in heaven. And when we experience the power of God's community, we experience the greatness that God has and he expects from all of us. This is what Solomon wanted the people of Israel to know and to understand. It's time to be galvanized. It's time to come together. It's time for you to think outside the box. Solomon built a great temple. When the people of Israel came together, he built a great temple called Solomon's Temple. Solomon used his assets to build waterways to help bring fresh and clean water to Israel. He was big on infrastructure. He wanted his people to be very well taken care of. And that lady, that gentleman, that is what God expects for all of us. Let's make sure that we do what God expects. Let's make sure that we come together as a community, and let's make sure that we tear down the walls of division wherever there is division, whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be community, churches, denominations, whatever that is. We have to now have rope mentality. Come together. Because the enemy, I don't know if you realize it, he's ready to catch you like this. So he can easily do that to you. You need your community to help you stay accountable. You need your community to help you build strength. You need your community to help you build assets and be a part of a greater cause. And that's what God wants us to know and to understand on today about the power of his community. And I want to talk to somebody out there that may be on the fence, may want to be a part of this great team that never loses, that may want to be able to see and experience God for themselves. You want to be a part of this community, but you might have had a little string experience in your life, and you may have gotten broken and snapped in half, and I understand that, but I want to let you know on today, God is a forgiving God, and he loves you, and I want to pray with you, not just for you. I want to pray with you on this morning, but here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me on today, because this is a community that you don't want to avoid. You want to sign up and be a part of this community. This is a community that you want to stay connected to. This is a community that never loses. This is a community that God is going to come back for when he's coming down back on the earth on that great cloud. He's coming for his community. He's coming for his church. He's coming for us. And you want to make sure that you're signed up and that you're ready to go, that you're ready to meet him again, because we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what tomorrow brings, okay? You don't know if there's a tomorrow, but right now, today, right now, this very moment, you can be a part of God's community. Repeat after me, God, I know I've been astray. I know that I have strayed away, but God, I'm running back to you. I'm running back to you fast, because I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know I have this opportunity right now today. Father, forgive me for my sins. I've done some things that I wasn't proud of. You didn't allow public to see it all, and I thank you for your grace and your mercy. But Lord, on today, I ask that you cleanse my mind, cleanse my spirit. Welcome me back into your community. Welcome me back into your kingdom, Father God. Establish a new thing inside of me. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your praise. I believe that Jesus died. He rose on the third day with all the power and with all the glory. I accept your way. I accept your will. And I thank you for saving me and adding me to your community. And Lord, use me to help add season to this world, to be the salt of the earth. Help me to connect with a great community, with a great church, with great leaders, and great believers. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank God, and amen. If you said that after me, and you believe that in all of your heart, you are a part of a team that never loses. You are a part of the community of God, and I want to welcome you into this kingdom. I want to welcome you into this kingdom. I just want to just take this time to just thank God that you are in this kingdom right now, and I welcome you in. You are about to do some amazing things, and the best is yet to come. We need you. We need your gifts. We need your talents. We need you to do whatever God lays on your heart to do, but to be a valuable asset to his kingdom. God bless you. God keep you. We'll be back here next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time on Facebook Live and on Zoom and We Talk Radio. I want to thank all of you for joining us as well. And until next time, don't meet me there, beat me there. Have a fantastic Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week.
I told you that you couldn't do it. lucky, I just pray through it. Fall on my face and I might make mistakes, but I don't let it break me, cause I'm still on my way.
Known in Mando Shoes. Black owned and family operated, Mando makes beautiful dress shoes for men that stand out and last while contributing to society through donations and community involvement. Handcrafted in Spain by talented artisans, all Mando shoes are made with high-grade Italian full-grain leather, providing a luxurious feel and next-level comfort. Their dress shoes and boots also can be resold, saving you money in the long run. Mando donates 1% of every shoe to charity, and their world-class customer service team ensures that every order is inspected and photographed prior to leaving the workshop. Their footwear is fully customized for VIP members, guaranteeing personalized products tailored to each and every customer's unique taste. Not to mention, recent graduates receive a $50 discount with the proof of graduating in the last 45 days. So what are you waiting for? Give your shoe collection the spring cleaning it deserves and get your next pair from Mando Shoes today.
Get your Mando shoes online at Mando.com. MandeaUX.com.
We Talk Radio.
We Talk Radio Network is the fastest growing online talk and music radio station, broadcasting the highest quality shows available on the web. We talk, we listen, we take action, using our unique services to inform, inspire, entertain, educate, and connect our diverse audience to the global marketplace. Over 15 radio personalities make up the 11 shows that broadcast to over 100,000 listeners around the globe. Currently streaming on WeTalkRadio.com, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Offering a wide variety of shows and services, WeTalk Radio has something for everyone. Tune in, follow us on social media, or visit our website at www.WeTalkRadio.com.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.